You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to the Dungeon of Doom. I am Kyle Meinke, Lions beat writer for MLive, joined as always by Ben Raven. I laughed there because my dog literally started licking my foot as I opened it up, Ben. It is a wild week in free agency. How you doing, man?
Shoot, I'm all right. This week, man, I don't love this week. Fans, I love you guys. You guys are off your rockers this week. You've completely forgotten everything the general manager has taught you for 3 years. And for some reason, you think throwing used trash at your friendly neighborhood beat writers is going to solve everything. But just no, it's all right, man. You know, this week it's a hurry up and wait, stare at some screens, drive to Allen Park, sit and wait, talk for 10 minutes, sit some more and drive home and stare at some more screens. It's just it's a long winding week, man, no doubt about it. And just you know, the Lions made some noise this week, but like, gosh, it just, the fact that this has all been a 5-day span is just ridiculous. It's a slow moving week, it feels like. But hey, it's that time of year and the draft's right around the corner and the first meaty week of free agency is done, thank God.
I shouldn't be surprised, I guess, by the fan discontent, the sports talk discontent with the Lions moves in free agency. I guess I am, but maybe I shouldn't be. I don't know, Ben. Like, it's just, I guess it's just like the information ecosystem we live in. People just need like that instant gratification of, oh my God, did you see they just signed this $100 million guy? But that has never been Brad Holmes's thing. They have gone from the depths of the NFL to the top of the NFC in 3 years with build through the draft, complement through free agency, and don't put yourself in a financial bind. And now they have all this cash to spend on these great players they've added, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff, Penei Sewell, because they're not in financial hell.
Yeah.
And then you get into the offseason this year and Brad Holmes is like, hey, like, we're not trying to win March or April or May. Don't freak out. We know what we're doing. We're going to keep building the way we've been building. It's working, and it clearly is. And then they go out there in free agency, and they do exactly what Brett Holmes said they were going to do, which is you make some really sensible signings that don't put them in a compromised financial situation. And you've got sports talk radio and half of Twitter freaking out that they haven't signed everyone's favorite player. It's really like, it's kind of frustrating because it's like, this is what they've been doing, and you love it during the season. Brad Holmes goes out there and literally tells you, hey, don't freak out. This is what we're doing, and it's working. And then they go out there and they do it, and people are freaking out.
Yeah, and it was frustrating because it's not like they were sitting on their hands, man. They opened the guard market by re-signing a starter. They trade for a physical cornerback who, like, on the surface looks made to play in Aaron Glenn's system. Yeah, he's not Snead. Yeah, he's not one of the top 10 cornerbacks in the league, but Carlton Davis, man, that's a starter. That's an improvement, and that's a starter. And it's like that got buried with the Lions not spending $120 freaking million dollars on Christian Wilkins or something like that. And it's just like, y'all are in the clouds right now. Like, what's going on? Because this team, I mean, they got better. And all you had to do was wait till the end of the week and look at it. They got better. They filled holes on defense, and they set themselves up nicely in the draft to do whatever the heck they feel like doing, as they have for 4 years now in this time of year. So, yeah, it's just I think we say it every year, but just like, Brad Holmes has earned y'all's trust. Like, trust that man. He's very good at what he does, and those extensions that they announced this week kind of cement that.
Ben, like, I realize, like, you know, us as Lions beat writers, everyone out there listening as Lions fans, like, they're not used to this perch of, like, being, like, a winner and, like, dealing from this position of strength. But this is how the best teams in the NFL usually operate. It's not usually, hey, let's go out there and spend $500 million on players we don't really know or how they'll fit into what we do. Look at Kansas City. Look at San Francisco. Like these are not major players at the top end of free agency. They make sensible signings to complement what they have culturally and schematically and otherwise without putting themselves in compromising financial positions so they can re-sign Patrick Mahomes or whoever else. And that's the position the Lions are in now. And I think back as a cautionary tale, like the biggest free agent that I recall the Lions signing in my decade on the beat was Trey Flowers. And the Lions were heralded for that signing. Like, hey, look at this. It's like the number one guy at his position, one of the top guys in the whole league, premium position. You know, they locked it down. Look at, like, Detroit's like a destination spot now for free agents. Trey Flowers was terrible in Detroit. And that whole class, which they spent so much money on, I think that was the Justin Coleman class and a bunch of other guys they overspent for, spent serious cash on. The Lions got an A from, like, you know, everywhere on the internet for their free agent haul and went on to have two terrible seasons. And those guys were terrible in Detroit. You know, I like what they're doing. You know, there, of course, are questions about guys like a Carlton Davis, for example, mainly health-wise. But they fit schematically. Like, his best numbers, like are as a man corner. He's played a lot of zone in Tampa. But in man, he's really good. Jamar Chase called him the best corner he's faced in the NFL. And the numbers are really good. He didn't allow a touchdown last year in man coverage. And they didn't sign him in free agency. They traded for him. But, like, that's what Brad Holmes does. Like, he's not chasing headlines in March. He's trying to win football games. And I think they got a bunch of guys, including Graham Glasgow at the outset, who helped them do that.
And I understand the frustration from fans that, like, all the big time signings and acquisitions are injury riddled guys who have struggled to stay on the field in the last couple of years. Like, I get that, but, like, Brad has showed that he likes making those type of moves in free agency, because that is where you find value. You can find these culture fits. You can find these guys that you know are good players when they're on the field. You give them 1 to 2 year deals to try and prove that they're still that player. I mean, DJ Reader, man, when he's on the field, he might be like one of the two or three best nose tackle interior defenders in the freaking league. I mean, they are really good at signing. Like, there's a saying in professional wrestling, you want to make your roster of guys. When you're walking through the airport, you're like, that guy does something in sports and entertainment. Now picture a Liam McNeil and DJ Reader walking off the bus together, man. Like, those are off the bus guys, like, right there, man. Like, that's like setting a tone.
So you saw the Alex Anzalone tweet too, huh?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. It was so perfect. I was trying to remember who did it when I started that sentence, and it was just perfect because I was like, that's such a wrestling tweet right there too. It's like, those are off the bus guys right there. And I'm just like, all right, I can't wait to talk to Alex about that. But yeah, it's just, you don't get a DJ Reader for $30 million 2 years if he's not hurt. You probably aren't trading for a Carlton Davis, a recent second round pick who the Bucks extended 2 years ago. Like, Brad is finding value here because he's going to build this thing through the draft. So he's going to find value, guys. He's going to find fits. He's going to find a Marcus Davenport who, good Lord, man. When we were going through his surgery history yesterday, we were like, I kind of see why the fans were waving red flags on this one, but, like, that is where they feel they can take risks and take chance and hit on guys with values. Because, I mean, I'll tell you what, Graham had some couple injury riddled years before he landed in Detroit. Look how that turned out. There's been a couple more examples, but, like, that's the most recent one that comes to mind. They said, we know who this player is. If he can stay on the field, we know what we're getting. And, you know, that's the same mantra they're following this year too.
You mentioned DJ Reader there, Ben. I think of all, and I know they focused on the back end, and I think Carlton Davis is a fit in Detroit. I think he's going to start. He might be their best corner, to be honest, outside corner come the season. But my favorite move in all of free agency for Detroit is Reader. He doesn't play a sexy position. Fans might watch a whole game without seeing him on Sundays, but, man, does he affect the game for winning teams, for winning defenses. One of the best nose tackles in the league. You know, I'm aware of him just because he's effing great, but I've been watching some clips of him since the signing, and man, he is imposing in the middle. The way he can occupy blocks, take on double teams. I've seen plays where he throws his guy into the running back. And we got to talk to him this week, and what an imposing looking dude. I mean, picturing that guy who was a top 10 defensive tackle in the league last year, according to Pro Football Focus, playing alongside Aleem McNeil, also a top 10 defensive tackle last year, according to Pro Football Focus. Like that to me is how you get better in free agency. It's not throwing $100 million at the biggest name who's going to win you a headline. It's building strengths. It's complementing what you have. And what they have in Aleem McNeil is a really powerful defensive tackle who plays the run very well. Detroit was number two against the run last year. And he really took steps forward as a pass rusher after dropping some weight. It was a breakout season. He might've been a Pro Bowler if he hadn't gotten hurt late in the year. And now you pair him with DJ Reader, this powerful, powerful bull rusher, a guy in the middle. Like, it's going to be a problem for offensive lines. They're going to wreak some havoc. They're certainly going to defend the run, which is how it all starts. I still think the Lions need some help on the edge. Maybe Davenport breaks out. Maybe he doesn't. I don't think they're really going to count on either. They have Aiden Hutchinson bringing back some guys, and I think it's a big need going into the draft. I think we'll see a young pass rusher come in, and then, of course, James Houston coming back off of injury. But on the interior, they're better when you swap up Benito Jones, solid guy, but DJ Reader, one of the best dudes in the league, put that meat next to Aleem McNeil. Sure. That's like 700 pounds of girth. It's going to be a freak show up front in the interior of the Lions defensive line. I don't remember the last time we could say that about Detroit.
No, not at all. Because like Aleem McNeil, man, I mean, this is such a Aleem McNeil, Hutch, Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell linebacker boosting move right here, and exactly what this defense needed, because McNeil, who missed the whole freaking month of December, was still second on this team while playing from the interior three tech, moving around on the inside position with 43 pressures. Like that's awesome, man. You put a block eater, man, I'll tell you what, just those 10 minutes talking to Reader yesterday, it was like full circle after talking to Terrell Williams in Indianapolis. And I'm just like, oh, this is like everything that guy was talking about. Like, oh my God, he's just like checking all those boxes. And it's just, man, this just really, I mean, the linebackers, that's where my eyes went. Obviously, it's like that frees up Hutch, that frees up McNeil. That's great. But these linebackers, I mean, this is the deepest Lions linebacker room I've seen in my lifetime. Like, I think that we've all seen in our lifetimes here, and I'm not trying to oversell it here, but like when you get a guy like Reader and you get a guy like McNeil, who's going upfield, that just, man, I think it's really easy to expect even better things from Anzalone, who's just been a rocket ship pointed upward the last 3 years. And I really think this is a Jack Campbell type move, because with somebody with that size and that explosion that he has, you get Reader buying him a half of an extra second to get through somebody like that. That's what this type of move does. I mean, I know he's got two separately blown quads, which is insane over the last 2 years, but like that's wild. That's wild for sure. But like, this is just such a value, high upside signing that makes those guys in that front seven or eight guys just that much better. I mean, that's the type of guy Reader is. And he really does seem like one of those guys who's like, hell yeah, I can't wait to work with these young guys and make them better and be their biggest cheerleader. And it's just box checker. I mean, every box you can put in front of me, Reader checks, man.
He's an unbelievable talent. He's had unbelievable leadership throughout his years. And, you know, Reader has been, you know, he's had some great tutelage over the years as well. Some great leadership, some great locker rooms that he's been in, went into a good situation in Cincinnati, went to a Super Bowl there. Like, he knows how it looks in this league. I'm curious to see what his mentorship does for some of the defensive linemen. I mean, Lions still have a very young room there. And in particular, Broderick Martin, the third round pick, they invested a lot of draft capital in last year to move up to get him. And I think we only saw him for what, like 29, 27 defensive snaps last year. So I think bringing in a guy who Like, listen, Broderick Martin doesn't look ready for the NFL. At least it didn't last year. Bringing in a guy who can play the position for now and help lead you to where you want to go next year, which is obviously the Super Bowl. That's the stated goal at this point. Super Bowl or bust, according to Alex Anzalone. but then you can also get a guy in here who can bring along Broderick Martin, show him the way, how it's done. And Aleem McNeil can do that too, but like it's different shades. Different voices. And I just think it's a really, really good signing. And he's not a huge name. The deal's only for $30 million. It's not like defensive tackle, like space eating defensive tackles aren't going to blow up sports radio. And so when I drive to the building yesterday or drive home and I hear these guys, I'm trying not to say too bad at things, Ben, but like, it's just frustrating because they're in a different business. Like they want to, piss people off about what's happening, to engage them, to keep their ear. But like what the Lions are doing is what they've always done and it's working. And then they bring in a guy who's really, really good and a really, really good leader. And culturally, like you could feel the culture fit when DJ Reader walked through the door yesterday, and it just doesn't capture headlines the way a big time receiver or whatever might. But throwing $30 million for a 2-year contract for like one of the best players at his position in the league, and you build a mismatch when you pair him with Aleem McNeil. Again, this is how winning teams do it. And I really like the move for Detroit.
Yeah. And I just think it is important for Broderick Martin to see a man of that size and how he does it, because I think that is what Broderick needs. There's just not too many guys in the league that are sized like Broderick Martin. I mean, there are guys as heavy as him and as wide as him, but like, he's also like as tall as freaking me at 6'6". Like he's 6'5", 6'6". And it's just, that's hard to play on the defensive line. And seeing someone like Reader, who is, I think, 330, 335 pounds and 6'2 or 6'3, how he moves, how he gets low, how he uses his size to his advantage and not as a disadvantage, could be really important for Martin. I mean, I'm not trying to raise any expectations for Broderick Martin in year two, because I don't have any, just to be completely blank and up front. But like, Brad Holmes loves himself a lottery ticket. Broderick Martin is a lottery ticket. Hendon Hooker is a lottery ticket. Marcus Davenport is even a lottery ticket. So like, Brad Holmes loves culture fits and lottery tickets. And I just think that DJ Reader's like hitting a $20 lottery ticket and going for the $100 lottery ticket. You know, he really like, that's a chance to make that a more valuable risk. And Broderick Martin, I really do see the value there, because it is important. Like, how's that big guy do that? Why can't I do that? And then you start working with him and you do it. It's just all about staying low. Pat, I don't want to sit here and talk about pad level in March, but that is what it's about with Broderick Martin. It really is as simple as that. And just, I think someone with Reader, just seeing how he does it, can truly help him, because Broderick wants to get better, man. He's a clay mold they're trying to turn into something they want. And I just think this is a move that helps them now and down the road, just with the guy that they're getting.
Hey there, did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Lions also added a couple of guys in the back end of the defense. Maybe we can move back there, Ben. Carlton Davis, they acquired in a trade with Tampa, and they also signed Amik Robertson, an interesting cornerback from Las Vegas, 5'9" guy, but has played primarily on the outside. Has some slot experience as well, could back up Brian Branch there, but he's going to compete for reps on the outside. Gives you some versatility. I think it'll be interesting to see how the Lions deploy their personnel next year, because they obviously have a lot of bodies. Emmanuel Mosley has been re-signed. Cam Sutton's back. You know, I think this, I still believe they're going to add a corner in the draft, a guy they can develop, and they can do that now. I don't think the guys they've added in free agency are going to take away the need in the draft. Davis is going into the last year of his deal. Robertson is a role player, I would say. Emmanuel Mosley is a 1-year contract, so you still have the financial flexibility to do whatever you want. And you can bring, what I like, Ben, is that you can bring in a guy and you don't have the pressure of playing him right away, which, yep. You know, some corners are ready for that, but most aren't. And bring in a guy who's not ready to play, but then you have to play him right away because of lack of depth. A guy like Jeff Okudo, like that's exactly what happened in his rookie year. Came in, wasn't really ready to play, but injuries happened. Yeah. They were critically thin at that position. He was starting by week two against Aaron Rodgers, and it was a nosedive from there. And the Lions, because of what they've done in free agency and what they have coming back, you know, I think they can add a high-level prospect, and I still think they will, and develop that guy. When he's ready, you can play him, but you don't have to right away because you have a Carlton Davis who's a CB1 in this league. Maybe not like an elite guy, but he is a CB1 in this league. Cam Sutton is fine as a CB2. You have Robertson coming in, Brian Branch back, Mosley competing for time. I think it's a good, like they've improved their situation at corner, you know, without having to give away the premium resources that would have taken to get a guy like L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of experience in that room. That's the first thing that really grabbed me. I mean, Robertson's a young dude, but like 19 starts over the last 2 years. We know what Mosley's done. We know where Sutton's been. Carlton Davis, man, like I said, that's a recent second-round pick that got extension. He's played a crap ton of games at a young age, but like that's a good situation, as you just laid out, for a rookie corner to come into. Like, I'll never forget Jeff Okudah straight to the top of the depth chart. You don't want that for cornerbacks. I really don't think you want that for cornerbacks unless they're special people. We thought Jeff Okudah was special, but we learned pretty quickly that he couldn't save that sinking ship, and that's not all on him. But yeah, I really do like the combination of Sutton and Davis, because I do think that they match up well with each other. I think they do different things. I think the Lions, as currently orchestrated, could do a lot of switching with their man and zone coverages. I mean, you might even see zone on one side, man on the other. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here, and that comes through experience. The experienced guys they've added, they've also added some ball hawking guys and guys who go, guess what, want to tackle and hit and play physical near the line of scrimmage. So I mean, they're staying true to their culture fits for sure. But like, yeah, I still love the idea of a first or second round cornerback joining that room, because then that's what really brings this together. That's what really brings it together, because Cam Sutton, year two of a 3-year deal. I mean, you do have to start thinking long term, and I do think that there is a window to bring someone in, ease them along, find the guy you like, and it's just a great situation because they're not the sexiest names, but they're good fits, and they make this defense better, because that's an upgrade over Jerry Jacobs. That's an upgrade over Kendall Vildor. Right. That's a pretty low freaking bar, but it's better, baby. It's moving forward.
I think you bottom line it well, Ben. It's not that the Lions went into free agency and got like the best cornerbacks in the league. They didn't trade for Sneed. It just would have taken too many resources to get him in the door. You would have had to throw in premium dollars at him to re-sign him for the long term. The Lions didn't want to do that. And that's their approach. Like Brad Holmes has told us who he is. Like they want to build through the draft. That's their focus. And so they're not going to give away a first round pick to get a guy that you have to turn around and pay $80 million to, or whatever it would have taken to get a deal done for the long term. But they got guys in, especially in Carlton Davis, who make you better now. Yeah. They give you competency now. Him and Cam Sutton, that's not going to blow anyone's hair back, but that's competency, which is better than it was last year. Mm-hmm. You have a stable situation. You even have some depth going on with Mosley, Branch, and so on. And then obviously Robertson coming in as well. It gives you stability. It opens up your options going into the draft. If you went into the draft, you didn't have Carlton Davis, you would need a CB1. Like, at that point, you're talking about like either using your first round pick at that position, or if guys start falling off the board at that position, maybe having to trade up to make sure you get your guy, because you can't, you know, screw yourself by not getting a glaring immediate need that you need at a premium position going into a season where you expect to compete for the Super Bowl. And I do think you make a really good point on the complementary nature of plugging Davis into a lineup with Cam Sutton. Cam Sutton's numbers are really, really bad. He had allowed the second worst quarterback rating in the league last year among corners who played at least half their defense's snaps. Anyone watching him play last year down the stretch saw what I'm talking about. Like, he got abused by Justin Jefferson and I don't know. like every receiver he faced in the last 5 weeks of the season, it seemed like. CeeDee Lamb got him pretty good down in Dallas, and so on. But he's a solid piece. Where he played his worst ball when he was traveling with these wide receiver ones. He's clearly not that kind of guy. And he was thrust into that position because the Lions also had Kendall Vildor and Jerry Jacobs out there. They had nobody else and nothing else going on. Now with Carlton Davis, his biggest strength is as a man corner against big receivers. Like that's like he has shut guys down like that, including Jamar Chase. I looked it up. Jamar Chase caught 3 of 9 targets in a game against Carlton Davis. I don't know. I forget. 2022, I think. And against the rest of the Bengals defense, he caught 4 of 5 for a touchdown. Like Carlton Davis did great stuff in that game. And he's done that throughout his career in those kind of coverages. And that's what he's going to be asked to do primarily in Detroit. And it covers what Cam Sutton does the worst, which is traveling around the field with these big receivers. I just think the Lions gave themselves a new dimension in the back end. More, better depth, more competency. And it opens up your options going into the draft to make your team better.
Yeah, I think that Brad Holmes has really shown that, he'll take risks to improve his team in free agency, but free agency really seems like an exercise to open up his frickin' board for the draft, to let him do whatever, take whoever he wants in the draft. And I do think that's exactly what he's done here. And I'm glad you brought up the Chase stuff, because when Carlton Davis was like pausing for 2.5 minutes at his press conference the other day, trying to think of a good game for Carlos to go back and study the tape, like that was going to happen. I was like, dude, Jamar Chase called you the best corner in the league. Just say that. I was like ready to turn around my computer at him. Like, just say that. But no, I could feel him wanting to say,
yo, just go look at the Jamar Chase cutups. But like, he didn't want to put a guy on blast, you know?
Well, Carlton, go ahead and put him on blast next time. You've got the Beats permission. But no, I think Lions fans will like Carlton too. He doesn't seem like he's the loudest guy, but when you walk in wearing a wool sweater and a CD3 chain and sunglasses, I'm like, oh, that guy plays cornerback right there. Yeah. Like,
I think it was probably the first press conference in that room in all the years that room has existed where I saw a guy wearing sunglasses for his press conference.
Exactly. I was like, oh, he just got off the plane from sunny Florida. That's a great, it seems like a great fit all around. That seems like an Aaron Glenn type of guy right there. Business first with some swagger.
The kids like to use the word aura these days. That guy had aura to him when he walked in the door, and the way he talked about his confidence. You know, he was asked about what the Lions were getting, and he just said matter of factly, lockdown corner. Like I'm gonna take away half the field. And listen, there's been injury issues. He's played his two worst seasons since his rookie year have been the last two seasons, according to Pro Football Focus. It's not there's a reason the Lions got him for a third round pick. You know, he's not L'Jarius Sneed. He's not like we're not disillusioned here. He's not going to, I think, lock down half the field every week for you. He's not that guy. If he was that guy, he would have cost a hell of a lot more than a third round pick. Exactly. But that's kind of the point. It's a resources game in the NFL. It's salary cap. Like everyone has a finite amount of resources. You're trying to max as much as you're trying to bring in the best players. You're trying to maximize your resources. And Brett Holmes didn't want to give away a first round pick or a first round pick plus for Sneed and then have to turn around and immediately pay him when you can use a first round pick on a guy that you're going to have in town for 5 years on a cost controlled contract before you have to worry about the contract situation. That's how you get yourself into cap hell, is, you know, those kinds of moves. And with deals coming for Goff, St. Brown, Sewell, they took a more pragmatic approach to free agency, got guys like Carlton Davis, who he can play this game when healthy, and he's going to be healthy going into next year. It's the same for DJ Reader up front. Like, part of the reason why he was available for what he's available for was injury history. You mentioned the blown out quads. He's still rehabbing right now, but he passed his physical with the Lions this week. He's expected to be ready for the start of the program this offseason. And the Lions got better, and they did it with, you know, sensible resources expended rather than putting themselves in a bad position, just chasing headlines in March, which we've seen before, Ben, and it doesn't work.
Dude, that was my first free agency, was the Trey Flowers, Jesse James. You know how many highest paid Nickelback headlines I wrote about Justin Coleman, man? Oh my God. So you guys really just need go back to that. I mean, just look at the freaking Jaguars, man. All that money they spent 3 years ago. They make the playoffs in that first year after that. And then this last year they missed the playoffs. And now they are like in weird space with Josh Allen. They lose Calvin Ridley at the last second. Like the Lions are doing this right. Like the Lions are do like the Lions are man, they're just staying true. Like that's what it is. They're staying true to what's got them here. And I mean, they're finding ways to get better because I mean, the last point I'll make on Davis is just like, I know that he said there were some like talks about a possible extension because he's coming in here with 1 year left on his deal. But like, I don't want to call him a Band-Aid, but like maybe he's like a golden Band-Aid to like hold down that top spot while you draft and develop a guy. And then you see where those talks go next year. It's just options, man. Brad Holmes is really good at giving himself options while building depth, finding cupping starter level guys right here. Like you said, it's never I think Detroit is tortured by the Javi Baez free agency of a couple years ago. I feel like it's gotten worse every single year. The team keeps getting better. Free agency reactions keep getting worse. So just chill out. Trust in Brad Holmes because that team got better this week. And I mean, they really did. They got better this week.
I feel like we need like a trigger warning every time Javi Baez, his name
I
is know, mentioned.
I can't believe I just said his name on this podcast.
Oh my God. I don't really watch baseball anymore, but I saw his, have you seen the numbers from spring training?
Yeah. You have a better OPS than Javi Baez right now.
Yeah. It's like 0.05 worse at this point. I don't know. I saw not to go into baseball, but I saw there's 300 as of this recording, 324 guys who have had 25 at bats in spring training. And he's the only one with a single hit.
Amazing.
It was
man.
A single. God. Just, but no, like that's, I mean, that's like Trey Flowers was not yeah. that much more productive than what we're seeing from Javi Baez. And the guy cost, what was like, I don't know, $100 million, give or take. And
it was 90 man, plus. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to think like, what's the worst contract they have right now? Like just off the cuff, I'm not even looking at the payroll. It might be Cam Sutton and it's not even yeah. that bad. Yeah. And you're out of it next year. That's speaking to how good the financial picture is in Detroit. It's super healthy. You don't have long-term bad money, dead money really to speak of. I think the biggest dead money is probably Tracy Walker. I don't have it in front of me again, but I think they're saving $6-7 million by cutting him this year. Like they're in an excellent situation and that gives them the flexibility that, hey, they have all these guys coming down the pipe who are like emerging superstars. You know, we mentioned Sewell and St. Brown before, and then you got Laporta rising up, Jahmyr Gibbs, like all these guys are going to need contracts at some point. And that's not even talking about the quarterback situation, which you need to take care of too. Like you need to have cash on hand for that. And they do. And if you start going out there and signing, you know, for $100 million, the Trey Flowers of the world, cause you're chasing headlines in March, you're going to put yourself in a bad, bad spot. And the Lions have been there before. And that's something I was thinking about on the ride to work yesterday when I was listening to these gentlemen on sports radio bemoaning what they were doing or not doing in free agency. I'm like, man, we have lived through what it's like to have these dire needs in free agency and have to overpay guys with like, you know, just huge money in free agency to just paper over what's going on because you draft so poorly and then you put yourself in financial hell and you can't do other moves that you need to when you do have guys come through that are actually good. Like it's a cycle of mediocrity and the Lions have lived it. And it's just strange to have a guy who's literally the reigning NFL executive of the year, who's taken the Detroit Lions from the bottom of the league to the top of the NFC in 3 years, rid the entire payroll of bad contracts, and you bemoan him because he didn't sign Christian Wilkins or whatever to $100 million deal. I mean, just to bring this whole conversation full circle, I shouldn't be surprised, but I am.
No, exactly. Exactly. I think we're so supportive of the way that Brad does things because we've seen it done other ways and we've seen what Brad's way has brought them. And it's just like, I get it. Like I've seen the light. Brad Holmes has showed the light. So just, trust in your general manager, folks. He's doing a great job. I mean, I know it's easy to say it at this time of year. They're not trying to win headlines in March, April, May, or June. They're trying to win headlines in January and December. And I think that they're laying the blueprint to do that.
And just real quickly, maybe to sum this up, you know, we've talked a lot about free agency, but I think one of their best moves occurred in the, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours before free agency, signing Graham Glasgow. Ooh, yeah. 3 years, $20 million. Ben, if you've seen the guard market, And you've seen what some of these guys are getting, including Jonah Jackson, who got what, 16, 17 million per year over 3 years.
Yeah.
There is money being thrown around for interior linemen unlike ever before. Like, that market is explosive right now. And the Lions got a guy who played top 10 football at guard last year, made quality starts at three positions. He's your backup center, basically, when your all-pro center is dealing with an inoperable toe condition. You have to have a viable plan B. You got that in Graham Glasgow, who also plays top 10 guard in the league for whatever, $6.7 million per year. Like, that's a grand slam of a signing, given where the market headed at that position. And Graham was asked about, hey, like, you know, this money's getting thrown around at your position. Like, why didn't you wait 4 hours just to see like what offers were out there? And Graham said basically that, you know, he did talk to his agent a little bit just to get a feel for what was out there. But like, he wanted to come back to Detroit, just like last offseason, he wanted to come back to Detroit. He wanted to play with his buds. He wanted to play winning football. That's something I talked to him a lot down the stretch last year, is like, hey, like, you've never been on a winning team like this. You've been to the playoffs once, and it was your rookie year. Like, you know, how different how different are things when you're winning like this? And he's like, man, it's just so much fun. It's lightning. You can play so different. You feel so different. You feel healthier when you're winning. So of course he wanted to come back, and he didn't really need to test free agency. It's like, the Lions have been good to me, so I wanted to be good to them and reward their faith. And the Lions locked down one of their biggest needs, which was at guard, because they had two guards entering free agency, and guard ended up being a really high priced position in this market. Yeah. And they got the guy back for 3 years, $20 million. I think that's a grand slam signing that no one's talking about, because it was their own guy. It's not a sexy position, and it actually happened in the hours before free agency. But I thought that was an excellent move by Detroit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Graham said it. He's like, I heard the number, and that was all I needed to hear. I didn't need to test the market. And it's just like, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that he might have left $5 to $10 million on a contract on the table. You look at guys like Ezra Cleveland getting $25 million for 3 years. Robert Hunt, who's at injury, $100 million. Like, there was some serious money to guards. I mean, they're deserving great players, top of the tier players. But like, Graham, man, $20 million, 3 years, just for a guy that fits, for a guy that's about what this team wants to be about, and just yeah, A plus, man. That's, I think behind Reader, that's my favorite move of the week too. I think it goes Reader and Glasgow, just like that 1-2, because Graham, man, underrated presence, underrated player, home run contract, as you said.
Maybe before we get out of here, just real quickly, putting on the spot, because I love to do that. what's your biggest remaining need going forward into the next, you know, round of free agency, and of course the draft next month?
I do think it's obviously they need another starting guard. It's starting guard and edge defender for me, just because of Marcus Davenport's injury history. So it's a 1A, 1B situation for me. I do put starting guard at the top of the list because they have a hole for a starter.
I'm right there with you, and I would put corner there as well. Guard's the most immediate need. You simply don't have. I mean, KOD is okay, but I don't think you go into a 17-game season with him as your left guard. And thankfully, draft is pretty deep in the early rounds with quality interior alignment, and even guys who have some flex to center too. So I think that would be a fit for Detroit. But in terms of like long-term need, you need an edge rusher and you need a corner. Corner is not really a position where you just draft a guy and you play him. Like, you get some guys who are exceptional in year one, but usually you have to develop these guys over a period of time. And I think the Lions now have the ability to do that. And now maybe is the time to do it, especially in a draft that's so deep at corner.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I love the corner in the offensive line draft. And like I said earlier, Brad has set himself up to do whatever the heck he wants come April.